السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد سمع الله قول التي تجادلك في زوجها وتشتكي إلى الله والله يسمع تحاوركما، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable and respected elders and brothers in Islam, the ayah that was recited is the first ayah of a surah called Surah Mujadila. I just want to narrate one aspect with regards to this ayah, the reason of its revelation, the personality behind it, and the lessons we draw as ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of Jahiliyyah, before Islam, when a man did not want his wife ever again, then he would say to her that you are like my mother. In other words, like my mother is haram upon me, you are also haram upon me. And according to their law, there was no reconciliation possible ever after this. Also, according to their law, if somebody used the word talaq, then there was the possibility of reconciliation. So there was this woman, her name was Khawla bint Tha'laba radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was advanced in age. Her husband was Aus bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Both of them companions, sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some disagreement occurred between the two of them, and this husband blurted out to this woman, "Anti aliyaka zahri ummi," you are like the back of my mother. In other words, like how my mother is haram upon me, you are also haram upon me forever and ever. This had an indelible effect on this woman, and Allah give us all the sabr, Allah give us the tahammul, the forbearance. Insan is insan, whether it's a male or a female, we all make mistakes, we all make errors. We may say something out of place, we may say something in a bad tone, or there may be just that we had a bad day. And as husbands, Allah has given us that kind of sabr, and Allah has given us that type of wisdom whereby we don't utter these words at all. When we look at our environment today, we will find that marriages hardly last the weekend. Sometimes the people in the catering industry will say that before we collected the utensils, the bride is home, Allah forbid. This is the sad situation of our community today. But nonetheless, this woman now goes to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and she explains to him what had occurred. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Nabi of Allah. He waits for wahi from Allah, or he would act, adjudicate, judge according to a previous wahi that was revealed to him. In this particular case, there was no wahi that had come down. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, "Khawla, the status quo will remain the same. Allah hasn't revealed anything, And because Allah hasn't revealed anything, it means now forever and ever your marital relationship will be cut off, severed, and it will remain like that. This woman begins to speak to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very soft tone, and she says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the situation is this. I came into this nikah with Aus. He used my wealth, and it was not an issue, it was not a problem. I bore him children, that was not an issue. Now I am penniless, I don't have that energy and that strength, and I have little children. And if they live with me, I cannot sustain them, and if they live with him, he cannot look after them. And what would happen? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained silent, and in one narration, she turned her heart towards Allah, and she said, Allahumma inni ashku ilayk. O Allah, you. She has to say these words, and herself she narrates that that effect of wahi that usually comes upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came upon him. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited these verses and the subsequent verses of the surah, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed the way out. But look at these powerful words of our mother Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is saying, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهِ. Most certainly Allah has heard. That woman who has pleaded with you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا. Allah ta'ala heard your soft tones, that as you spoke to each other. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, her apartment was not a huge apartment, it was a small room. She says, I was in the room. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a conversation with this woman. Whatever the conversation was, whatever she said, I could barely hear. But look at my Allah. My Allah heard the plea of this woman. And look at my Allah. My Allah revealed appropriate verses that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shows the way out. I won't go into that aspect. A lot of jurisprudence is involved. But the important aspect of this incident is that, friends, how many times do we find that we have issues? How many times do we find that we have difficulties in our lives? And who is the first person? Who are the first people we turn to? We learn this lesson from this woman, Khawla bint Thalaba radiallahu ta'ala anha, that we need to turn towards Allah. We need to turn towards Allah and beseech and draw from Allah, knowing full well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely change the circumstances. Yes, this is a world of need. It is a world of means. So if we have to then, thereafter, turn to others, but our first call should be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala asked the question in a whole series of verses in which Allah ta'ala speaks about His great kudrat, His power, His ni'mat. Allah ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ وَيَجَعْلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ. Who is there to answer the call of a muddar person, a person that is hard-pressed, a person that has got no one to turn to? He's in absolute difficulty. The whole world may have shut the doors to this person. Then who is that person that we are going to turn to in that situation? Who listens to the call? Who responds to that call? It is only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hajjaj bin Yusuf was a very oppressive personality, and people generally feared him. Once he had come to the Baytullah, and on the mataf of the Baytullah, Hajjaj bin Yusuf sees a blind person. And this blind person is making dua to Allah. And all he's asking for from Allah, reinstate my vision. Let me be able to see once again. Hajjaj bin Yusuf walks a short distance and then he comes back to this person. And he says to this man, I am Hajjaj. Now you listen to me. The next time I pass by here and I see you sitting, and if you don't have your eyesight reinstated, I will chop your head. Now this person now makes dua to Allah. One is the issue of my eyes, and now is the issue of my life. And now he becomes so desperate. And this is the point that Allah Ta'ala brings about in that ayat. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرُ That when you become desperate, and desperately you ask from Allah, Hajjaj bin Yusuf hardly completes his tawaf, and he comes back and this man's eyesight is reinstated. This is the kind of desperation we need to show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, another very important aspect will be, وَكَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَجِيهَا Allah ta'ala speaks about Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, amongst all the other qualities with which Allah ta'ala praised Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, one quality here Allah ta'ala says, وَجِيهًا He was wajih. He was honorable in the sight of Allah. As far as Allah was concerned, Allah had given him nubuwat. Allah blessed him that he was able to converse with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He was kalimullah and all of that. But here Allah ta'ala says he was wajih. And wajih, the ulama have expressed that when he lifted his hands or he turned his heart to Allah, Allah accepted the dua of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Ulama have explained one important aspect with regards to Musa alayhi salatu wassalam making dua to Allah Rabbul Izzat. In one dua in Surah Al-Qasas, Musa alayhi salatu wassalam leaves Egypt. And now his life is at stake. There's a warrant of arrest. And now Musa alayhi salatu wassalam goes to Madian. And there in Madian, a journey of several days in the narrations between 7 and 40 days, Musa alayhi salatu wassalam had not eaten. And he helps those two women that he helped to draw the water from the well. And then Musa alayhi salatu wassalam comes under the shade of a tree. And now, there's the pangs of hunger, and Musa alayhi salatu wassalam now turns to Allah Rabbul Izzat, and he makes a dua, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Rabbi inni lima min khayrin faqir. Look at these powerful words of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Allah give us the tawfiq to emulate this. Even not in the same words, but at least the mindset should be that. He says, O Allah, for whatever you send down to me, whatever it be, I am a faqir. I am in need of it. So ulama have expressed that Musa alayhi salatu wassalam's dua was filled with showing Allah, I am in need of you. There is no one else I am dependent on. Ya ayyuha an-nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah wallahu huwal ghani. Ya Allah, I am in need of you. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then opens the way, paves the way for Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. According to the narrations, some ulama have written that qasam of Allah, all Musa alayhi salatu wassalam was wanting from Allah was just one slice of bread. That's all he wanted, to satisfy that pangs of hunger. But then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had opened the path for Musa alayhi salam, that then he remained with Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salatu wa salam for a period of 8 or 10 years. He married in that household, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala saw to the sustenance of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. So the important lesson we learn is that we must show that we are in need of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we must show that desperation to Allah. And when this desperation heightens, whatever it may be, then one Ni'mat in amongst it will be that our hearts and our minds will turn away from all the means and it will turn only towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Nonetheless, coming back to this woman, Khawla bin Tha'alaba radiallahu ta'ala anha, some years passed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left this world. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's khilafat, and then in the khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but then this woman had already aged. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is going out to see to the people's needs, and he has several people with him, and this woman comes from the side of the road, and she calls, "O Umar." Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sees this woman, and immediately he realizes that this is Khawla bint Tha'alaba. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu dismounts, and he stands in front of this woman, according to some narrations, like how a little child will stand in front of a mother. And this woman then addresses Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, just one or two pertinent aspects of the address. She says to him, "O Umar, there was a time when the people of Akkas, that is the marketplace of Makkah, they used to call you Umair. Umair means small little Umar. In other words, you were not valued in the eyes of people. You were regarded as a child. And at that time, Umar, you used to look after the livestock of the people, the sheep and the goats or whatever. In other words, your task also was menial and you meant nothing to anyone. And then the next part of your life, you grew up and people started calling you Umar. And of course, we all know that Umar, that the people of Makkah had actually been afraid of. They feared him, they trembled when they saw Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then she says, that then evolved from calling you Umar, they began to call you Amirul Mu'mineen. Now what is this lesson that this woman is giving Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu? It is a very, very simple lesson, friends. And that lesson is, never ever forget your past, O Umar. And then she gives him the first advice. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي رَعِيَّتِ. Fear Allah with regards to the citizens. Be considerate to their needs. And at the same time, if you and I reflect, does these thoughts ever come to our mind that perhaps there would have been days in our lives when people may have not had that wealth that Allah has bestowed upon us? There may have been times in our lives when there were no motor vehicles available to us as it is today. There may have been many times that the food that is on our dastarkhan, on our table, that was never there before. She's addressing Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that person who was so cognizant of this fact. We probably heard the narration that when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was on his last, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu had come in to visit him, and he gave him glad tidings, and he said, "Oh Umar, glad tidings to you that you are a Jannati. You have acquired Jannah. On the one hand, you are a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other hand, Allah had taken so much of work from you, etc." Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's response to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "O Abdullah, undoubtedly I cherish the moments when I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With regards to the work and the khidmat that Allah had taken, the services that I rendered to the deen of Allah, how I wish my errors and the good I did all were equal, and the good and the bad all cancel and annuls each other and it comes to zero."
That is Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it is that Umar that this woman is now addressing. We will recall Mahmud Ghaznavi rahimahumullah, that in his courtier, amongst his courtiers, was one person by the name of Ayaz. And Ayaz was a very loyal, faithful, pious, righteous person. And he won the heart of Mahmud Ghaznavi rahimahumullah. And now being a latecomer as a courtier, he had these favors that were bestowed upon him by Mahmud Ghaznavi, which obviously became a means of jealousy to the others. So the others decided that what we need to do is, as we will say, put spanners in the works. So Mahmud Ghaznavi rahimahumullah even had the keys to the treasure house. So the people said to Mahmud Ghaznavi that Ayaz has this key of yours, but do you know it every night at a particular time he goes into the treasure house and Allah knows what he does. We just need to put the spark. And that is what they did. So Mahmud Ghaznavi, without any fear, without any doubt whatsoever, he said, don't worry, you people, at a certain time, the view of Ayaz, let us see what he does. So exactly at that time, Ayaz comes, he opens the door, and he goes into the treasure house. There's an old broken mirror. He places that mirror in front of him. He removes the clothing of royalty, and he wears rags. And now, Mahmud Ghaznavi himself is surprised, the people are surprised, and he looks at himself in the mirror, and he says, oh Ayaz, this is how you entered the court of Mahmud Ghaznavi. This is what you were. You were in rags. Your clothes were tattered and torn. You had absolutely no honor and respect in the eyes of people. And look at that honor and respect that Allah has given you. And then he turns to Allah, making shukr to Allah Ta'ala. This is that message that this woman is giving to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nonetheless, she goes on and she says to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, man khafa al-wa'id qarub al-ba'id. Man khafa al-wa'id qarub al-wa'id. That person who is fearful of the wa'id, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, one is he gave us wa'da, he's promised us. Allah has promised us ajr and thawab. On the other hand, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has also made promises for the person that is disobedient. Then obviously Allah has given warnings. So she's saying to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that person that fears the warnings of Allah, qarub al-ba'id, that which seems to be very far, comes very near to that person. And this is actually the crux of our life. That when we become aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we realize the might and the power of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, on the one hand, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. On the one hand, a person has this constant concern, how am I going to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? If a person has this concern that Allah's warnings are so severe, and I rather escape from the warnings of Allah, and I rather do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, then obviously Qiyamah, that seems to be so far, will come closer to us. That death of ours, that may seem to be a very far-fetched thing, that we may think, and Allah grant everyone long life with khair and afiyat, but it may seem to be many, many years to come. And we forget that Arabic saying, that person who dies, then his qiyamah has started. Man mata faqad qamat qiyamatuhu. As soon as we leave this world, our hisab and kitab begins in the courts of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is the message that she is bringing to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And hence, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu takes leave of this woman when she had completed The companions asked Umar, who is this old lady? That she holds up a person like you. He replies that if only you know that Allah revealed ayat regarding this woman because of this plea of this woman. And that is why many of the ulama, under the commentary of this incident, they write, it was because of this fact that she understood the reality of life. She understood that Qiyamah will come very soon. And with that kind of heart, she asked and she pleaded to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received that wahi. And because of that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed these verses. Brothers, in short, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has brought us into this world. And in this world, there are going to be many, many challenges. And people will complain about the challenges with regards to the various incidents and happenings, whether it is xenophobia, whether it is the price of oil, whatever it may be. As believers, as mu'mineen, let us turn our hearts to Allah. Let us beseech from Allah. Allah is not going to reveal any verses regarding us, but definitely Allah will hear our plea. Allah will change circumstances. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will ease our difficulties. And after all, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us all the best of dunya and akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.